On this episode of Diggity, a video game podcast, we review Spider-Man, EA doesn't care about you at all, Belgium, and is Nintendo being fair about their cloud save system rules? Let's jump into it. What is up, guys? Welcome to episode 6 of Diggity, a video game podcast. I'm your host, Jeff James. As always, with me is the luscious Brody.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic on this Monday evening. This is producing for the Tuesday show, giving a little bit of insight to the fact that, yes, we don't actually record this on Tuesday at 9 in the morning. We record this at Monday at, Eastern time. It's almost 11 o'clock for you.
Yeah, it's getting close.
There's a look into the inside of the show. Also, here's a great segue. If you want to look into the show more, you can follow us on Instagram at Diggity Podcast. Also on Twitter at Diggity Podcast. You can follow myself at Jeff J. Zuck on Twitter, JeffJZuk. That's J and Jeff, not a G, because G off isn't a name. What about you, Brody?
You can follow me on Twitter at Brody Fultz, BrodyFultz.
Hot diggity damn. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen, so you can get your hot new freshness of Diggity served up twice a week. It's like that, like in high school, you know, when they serve pizza twice a week or whatever. At least in Canada, they serve pizza twice a week. It's like a treat. Do they serve pizza like every day?
We always get it like once a week. I think it was
really
like only once. Yeah,
I was expecting
like Thursdays,
like,
I believe.
Well, I was expecting pizza Thursday.
Yeah.
It's a weird day to have pizza.
What were you expecting, Jeff? Like seven
Friday.
Times a week?
Yeah.
Yeah, we get it for breakfast 2 days, too. Yeah,
I was expecting for breakfast ding-dongs also for breakfast.
Well, yeah. I mean, how else do you balance out a breakfast?
Which also, we don't have ding-dongs in Canada. So when I remember being in a gas station when I was dating Janelle, and I was on my way, I think it was in Ohio, and I stopped in this gas station. And this guy, I guess, had an extra ding-dong in his truck. And he asked me, do you want my extra ding-dong? And I thought he meant his dick.
Oh, shit.
And I left. I said, no, thank you, sir. And I left. And, like, all the way for the next, like, 4 hours or 3 hours while I drove to, like, Fort Wayne or wherever it was. I think it was in Michigan this happened. But for the next like 2.5-3 hours that I drove to Fort Wayne, I literally thought this guy basically offered his dick to me. And then I was told that no, it's a dessert.
It's a delicacy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god. Well, hey, before we get into it, we gotta talk about who the sponsor of the show is today. Today's podcast story is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/diggity. That's D-I-G-G-I-T-Y. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your Android, iPhone, Kindle, or if you still use it, MP3 player. So head on over to www.audibletrial.com/diggity, D-I-G-G-I-T-Y, to access over 180,000 titles and a free 30-day trial. So check it out.
Speaking of MP3 player, I still have an iPod Classic.
Yeah, because it works great.
I use it every day.
Yeah, it's like a brick,
man.
It's
fantastic.
It's like a tank.
I've dropped it, and the whole casing is completely split, and I'm like pushing the ribbons back into it, and it still works perfectly. It's incredible.
It's awesome. Damn.
The only Apple product that I have, actually.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. Now we just pissed somebody off out there.
I went there.
Someone's pissed there. Anyways, these are before we get into the news and your awesome, super fantastic review of Spider-Man coming up here. We got to go through. It's a Tuesday show, so we're going to talk about kind of a weekly update of games coming out. So on the 18th, we have Insurgency Sandstorm coming out on PC. We have Capcom's Beat 'Em Up bundle coming to the Switch, Xbox One, and PS4. We have Transference coming to PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4. Undertale is coming to the Switch. Blind is coming to the PC and PS4. On the 19th, you get Rune Early Access on PC. On the 20th, The Gardens Between comes out on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Star Control Origins comes out on PC. Light Fingers comes out on Switch. Really weird name. Gonna have to check that one out. On the 21st, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Torn of the Golden Country comes out on Switch, and 8-Bit Invaders comes out on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. And those are the games that are coming out this week, my friends.
Are you looking forward to any of those?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Capcom Beat-em-up bundle. We talked about that last week, which is sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I do want to see what the hell Lightfingers is.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested.
Just by the sheer name. Yeah. Good job on that name pick.
It's strange enough that it just might work.
I like retro, so 8-Bit Invaders also sounds pretty cool, so I'll check that as well. Yeah. But, yeah, no, pretty decent week, man. I mean, it's some smaller stuff, but there's some big stuff coming out in the next couple of weeks. You got, like, Red Dead coming out in the next few weeks here. You're going to have just a little bit after that Fallout. There's so much stuff. God.
Some good stuff.
Yeah, my dude.
Getting close, man.
And speaking of good stuff, why don't we just jump on into it? Why don't you jump into your Spider-Man review, dude? Just the mic, the floor is all yours. Go for it.
All right. So I am at, unfortunately, I have not finished it yet. I am at 77% in-game and 58% of the achievements unlocked. A lot of those are story-based. Anything that I could get up until this point, I have gotten. So it's been moving actually slower than I expected. Everybody said it was like a 20-hour game or so. But I am doing every single thing as I go. I will not move on to the next story mission until I have finished all of the side missions available to me.
Completionist.
So it is, yeah, it's been a little slow moving, but I think that helps a lot with the pacing. I feel like the pacing is set up purposely that way, to where it only unlocks tidbits of the side missions and things as you go, so you don't burn yourself out on just doing side missions and things of that nature. But so far, I absolutely love it. It's everything I hoped it to be, and it really sets the bar for all of the superhero games coming after. Just to kind of touch on a couple things that I really liked, as the story progresses, the world actually changes with the story. So, I mean, not just your day and night cycle, but I'm trying not to give any spoilers away in this, so, but as I've progressed through the story, some certain key events happen, and the actual city changes based upon these. I mean, you'll see enemies around the world that you wouldn't have seen before, and there's different events happening during, you know, just roaming around the city that weren't there before either. So I thought that was a really cool thing that they added in there. Another thing that I really liked about the game was the pacing, as I mentioned earlier. I think they've paced it out to where you're not getting burnt out on anything, and you're really actually moving through the story at a decent enough rate that you're not forgetting what's going on. You're not getting sidetracked into some of the side missions too much. The combat in this game is incredible, but it can also get slightly repetitive. I found myself as I would, there's like bases and things that you go and take, and to take these bases, you gotta defeat all of the enemies in these bases. So it's pretty standard for a big open world type of game, you know, go in, beat all the baddies and it's yours now.
Right.
But, the combat feels awesome. The gadgets that you can use during combat feel really great. I mean, they have everything from trip mines to web bombs. The trip mines are webbing, obviously. So if somebody walks past it, you know, it shoots a web out, and it grabs the enemy and pulls them up against the wall. And I feel like the combat is just, it's a lot of fun. It feels really good, and I've played a lot of it in a very short period of time. And the combat's just now kind of starting to get to the point where it's kind of stale. I find myself running into a base and doing a lot of the same things. But that might just be me.
Does it feel rewarding?
I mean, to an extent. Have you ever played any of the Batman, like Arkham City?
Yeah.
The combat's very similar to that in a way. Okay. So you basically have two main attacks. You have your regular punch attack, and you have a webbing attack for, like, distances, closing gaps and everything.
Right.
So, you know, basically I would go in, fight one baddie, and then as soon as I was done beating the shit out of him, I would use triangle to basically fly across the stinking warehouse or wherever I'm at and attack the next guy, you know. And then you have finisher moves, which I would have liked to see maybe a few more finisher moves.
Okay. That's repetitive?
Yeah, there's only a handful of finisher moves, it's kind of...
Are you, like, forced to make those finishing moves, or is it just because those finishing moves are, like, so kind of badass that, like, that's how you want to finish, you know, kind of your fight with your enemy?
It allows you to finish off an enemy sooner.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you're in a giant swarm of people and you can use a finisher move, it really helps. But, you don't have to use them.
Okay, so it's not forcing you? Like, it's not asking you to...
No.
Okay.
No, it just shows a prompt when you're fighting that will allow you to use them. Yeah.
But it's badass, so you want to use it. So it's just asking cool. for more variety, basically, on that?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, cool. They're pretty cool, and then some of the more difficult bosses, like, you have a focus gauge, and some of them take more focus to take down than the other ones, so you kind of have to watch that. But if you can take down some of the bigger, the harder enemies with the focus gauge, it helps a lot, because those guys can be a pain in the ass to take down. But
So for stealthiness in this, like, do you feel like when you're being stealthy, do you actually feel sneaky, or do you feel like everyone else around you is dumb?
No, it makes you feel pretty sneaky. Okay. As you're running around, I hate making the comparison, but it is in a way similar to Batman. I mean, basically, as
it's good to have comparisons. I mean,
yeah,
lots of people play that title. Probably liked it. I liked it.
Right. It helps visualize it a little bit better. But I mean, as you're perching on things, and you can use different kinds of takedowns, and you can hit R3, so click in the right stick button, and it will scan the area, and it will tell you if an enemy is, if it's safe to take them out or not.
Hmm.
So, and it does go based upon if somebody's facing you, you can't take them out, even if you're a ways away, because you'll get caught. But I think the way they did it was... The stealth missions do feel pretty stealthy, and there are some missions that require you to use stealth. So if you get caught, you get caught, and you got to start over. But I think they did a pretty good job on that aspect. I think the just jumping down there and beating the holy hell out of people is a lot more fun. But if you can take out some of the snipers and... there's people with RPGs, and I mean, anything you can think of, they're pretty much in there. So taking some of them out ahead of time really helps out with the fight. But the next thing I kind of wanted to touch on was the swinging through the city, which feels amazing. I mean, you feel like Spider-Man. It has such a good flow, and as we kind of touched on earlier, you know, you can't swing where there's nothing to swing from. So if you jump off the Empire State Building and you go to swing, there's nothing to swing off of unless you're facing the Empire State Building.
Right.
So they did a good job with that. Now, you had mentioned something about Central Park earlier. It was a couple episodes ago. And Central Park, you actually can swing through, but it's solely off of trees.
So it's super low.
Yeah, it's extremely it's low and fast-paced. Yeah, I mean, it's still, you have to swing off of something, which I think is awesome, and it kind of gives a little bit of grounding to Spider-Man. I mean, in previous games, a lot of times you're just kind of swinging from clouds and stuff.
Yeah, like so Amazing I think, Spider-Man had that.
Right, remember. Right. So this was a good way to kind of... I mean, yeah, he's Spider-Man, but he still has limitations. He still has to be swinging from something. And I thought that was a very good touch to kind of make the game feel, I mean, as realistic as a superhero game can feel. I mean, you're a man with the powers of spiders, but whatever.
Well, it's super cool, right? Because it puts you, it takes away one of his, you know, his powers in an environment, right? Like if you have an enemy in Central Park or something you have to do in Central Park, you know, you have to swing lower, or perhaps there's no trees, and you're going to have to, you know, work with that in that situation. So it kind of puts you in a, it doesn't put you in God mode constantly, like the last Amazing Spider-Man game or whatever. It puts you down at like a shit. One of my powers are not as useful here right now. Basically, you know, I can still use my webs, however, there's nothing to fucking cling on to here. So I can't swing around. Is the control good of it? Like when you're swinging,
the control is very good.
So very like good. When you're swinging, you're like, man, I want to hit like the corner of that building there. Like, does it just do that for you? Is it like auto snap to certain things, or like how does it?
Yeah. It auto snaps to certain things, which is probably good. I mean, it would be a real pain in the ass if you actually had to line up each anchor point for your web.
But you can move around everything, like your body, right, while you're swinging and stuff?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Everything feels very fluid. So as you're going and say you want to make a sharp corner, you basically let off the web and turn Spider-Man's body to face the way you want to go and then take back off again.
Okay.
So everything feels extremely fluid. They did an incredible job on that. And I was actually listening to an interview the other day, and they said that was one of the first things they worked on was swinging.
Oh, for sure.
Because that had to feel right. Absolutely. Otherwise, you don't feel like Spider-Man, which was very true.
Oh, that's awesome.
The next thing I wanted to touch on was the skills, gadgets, and suits. The suits are probably my favorite aspect of it. I really like cosmetic stuff like that. I'm a sucker for that. And all the cool kind of callbacks to Spider-Man's history and all the different comics that he's been in over time. It was really cool to see. There's a lot of cameos in just the suits, I guess, because some of the suits are actually of people who are not Peter Parker. So they're still spider characters, but they're not exactly Peter Parker. So I thought that was really cool. And there's certain ways you can unlock some of them. And I think there's even a couple secret suits, if I am remembering correctly. I think one of them you had to go through a certain quest line or a little side mission line, and then... there's another one for, I'm trying not to say any spoilers, so there's another secret one that you can get. But I really liked them. They all came with their own powers, and you can mix and match the powers, so you're not locked into using one power on one suit, which was awesome. That way you can look the way you want and still have the power that you want.
How do the skills work? Like how does that work in the game?
You have a skill tree. You got three different paths of a skill tree. I'm drawing a blank on what they are, but one's basically for fighting. One is kind of innovation, so you can get some different things that kind of help also with fighting, but also with swinging around the city. Okay. And the last one's like web slinger or something like that. So it's predominantly based upon, you know, swinging through the city and different things you can do with your actual webs.
Okay, and you just unlock these by, like, leveling up or, like, story progression?
Yep, you level up. Every time you level up is when you get another point, and you get, I think there's 50 levels in it, and I'm, like, 41 or 42. So I'm actually almost done with all the skill trees, getting real close. I think I need just a handful of points left. But there's everything from stupid stuff like as you're swinging through the city, you can actually do tricks to there's stuff that really helps with combat, like being able to throw people and That's actually awesome. Hit people with other people as you're throwing them. And there's a ton of different combat perks that help a ton. I mean, before I got those, it was just, it wasn't nearly as good. And now after you get all that, you can start chaining together some pretty cool combos and doing a lot of really cool stuff. So the skill trees are extremely important and definitely make you feel more powerful as you level up, depending on how you disperse your points. And then the last thing is the gadgets. So you have everything from your typical webs, which if you're going to use just your regular webs, it takes 2, 3, 4 shots to web someone up to where they won't be able to attack you. And so that one, for most people, wouldn't be nearly as useful, but I use that one because it refills a lot, and some of the enemies you have to web in order to be able to attack them. So I use that one predominantly, which is basically what you start the game with. I mean, you don't have anything else. And then they got, like, the trip mines, and then they got the web bombs, which the web bombs, you hit one enemy with them, and it explodes, and then it webs a bunch of other people. I mean, there's a handful of other gadgets as well. You got your spider drone, and that actually, like, shocks people. It has, like, a taser on it and flies around and shocks people. But the gadgets are really cool.
It's badass.
Yeah, they're really cool. Like I said, I didn't venture too much from just the kind of more traditional just web shooters, but that was just a personal choice because some of the other ones just took too long to refill, and I just didn't wait for them. So, and you can upgrade all of these as you go. They all use kind of a different form of currency per se, but they're all like tokens that you earn just from playing the game and right. doing some of the side missions and stopping crimes and things of that nature. And so the skills and the gadgets are all leveled up from that, and also the suits are bought with those tokens as well. So you get them from various different tasks and things through the game. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about was the story. And the story is phenomenal up until this point. It has taken basically your traditional Spider-Man story and made some alterations and kind of they didn't follow a specific comic to a T. They made their own story, which I think was awesome, and I'm glad that they did it because it kind of gives you a sense that, hey, you know, this is an all-new Spider-Man story, and so whatever you think you know about it, you don't necessarily know. Now, whether some of that comes true and happens later on, I mean, some does, some doesn't, but for the most part, I mean, it feels fresh, and it doesn't feel like your same rehashed Spider-Man story over and over and over again. But up until now, I mean, like I said, I'm getting pretty close to being done with the story. So I've got a pretty good idea of where this is going to go and all of that. But I think the story is strong. I think they spent a lot of time on Peter and Mary Jane and all of these different characters throughout the game, that and they've made them such strong characters that they really kind of leave a lasting impression on you, and the voice acting is also phenomenal. So it's really cool to see how well it all came together and created this very, very nice story. But
yeah, man.
When I rate games, I am not going to go on a number scale. I know I didn't mention many downfalls to this game. I think some of the downfalls are just kind of the... It can get repetitive depending on how much you play and what kind of time period you're looking at. I've been playing in pretty long spurts to try to get through it, and... it's just now getting to the point where it's kind of starting to get monotonous.
Okay.
But I think even then it's not really monotonous, but I don't know. It's more so the combat. It's just kind of repetitive, and you can switch it up, but my play style is pretty simple. So it's pretty much run and punch and be done with it. There's not a whole lot of messing around with the gadgets and things of that nature. So I think you could make it as diverse as you wanted to, but I'm not really straying from what I started with.
Right. So it's like a game where it's what you make out of it, basically. Like if you want, yeah. If you're getting bored of it, hey, go swing around the city, go do some side missions, maybe find some collectibles, maybe find some, like, you know, Easter eggs, stuff like that.
Right.
And get back to the story, or maybe play it in a different way.
Yeah, and like I said, even then the combat's not too bad because the way they split everything up, you can only do so much of something at one time before you have to progress the story in order to unlock more things. So it's not like you can just run around and fight every person in the city and be done with it. Like, you actually have to still progress things, and the story missions are all varied, and they're nothing. I mean, none of them are really the same. You kind of get to step in as a couple other characters even and play just for a little bit. So that I think the way they broke that up kind of breaks up the monotony. I have just been playing it so heavily and every day and have kind of put everything else by the wayside until I got at least to a good point where I could confidently review this.
Make judgment on it, yeah. And you pointed right to that, too. You mentioned, you know, that Diggity's not going to ever do numerical values. I think we're kind of on a tier basis, and we'd rather do real world. Not that there's anything wrong with scoring from a numerical basis. We just...
Right.
I can't sit here. Yeah, I can't sit here and confidently be like, Spider-Man is a 9.3.
Right.
But this game's a 9.5, and it's like, we're getting like, you're getting too anal about it, honestly. And so it's like kind of one of those things where it's like, maybe, you know, I guess, you know, we talked about it a bunch, and you know, kind of explain the tiers of kind of how we review games, if you will.
Right. The way I want to go about reviewing games is either a buy, wait for a sale, or basically don't pick up. It's simple enough to where there's no huge outliers. I mean, you're looking at either, hey, go out and buy this game now, wait for it to go on sale, or don't touch it at all. And I think that will cover most of what we want to hit. There obviously will be some things like in this review specifically. I mean, if you are not a superhero fan, not a Marvel fan, I would not recommend to pick this up because it is Marvel heavy. If you don't like the whole superhero thing, you're probably not going to like this. That being said, I also think this game is incredible even if you are a slight Marvel fan or even just a slight Spider-Man fan. I don't think you have to love Marvel in order to love this game by any means. But yeah, I think those three tiers, and you could throw in another tier of, you know, like, oh, well, rent it. But first off, not very many people rent games anymore. Right.
That's not really a thing. And, I mean, there's Redbox, but...
Yeah. And second off, I mean, anymore, most of your games are going to be long. And so unless you have 20 hours to throw at a game, like right now, it's renting. It's not going to help you a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But
so I guess the verdict from you, man. What do you, in your newly reigned system here, you know, what do you give this, and kind of some bullet points, quick bullet points of kind of just why it's in that category?
I am definitely going to say that if you are even remotely a Marvel fan or even just like superhero games or anything like that, absolutely buy this game. I am in love with this game. It's so much fun, even though I've been playing so much of it at, you know, in a given time and been playing nothing else. It's not a slog. I still, even when I'm not home, I'm like, man, I can't wait to get home and play Spider-Man. It's not a perfect game by any means, but it does, it's fun. It's an absolute blast to play. You feel like Spider-Man, and I think that Insomniac knocked it out of the park on this and set the bar extremely high for the games to come in the superhero franchises. So,
sweet. Right on. Yeah, I mean, everything I've seen on it looks fantastic. You've been telling me so much about it. You're a huge fan of it. And you've constantly been like, this game's fantastic. Oh my gosh, this is great. I'm in love with this game. You know, all that kind of stuff. And it's just awesome to finally see, like a good superhero game. Like, now, obviously, Arkham was, the series was fantastic.
But
just like, to get Marvel some love and for it to be a good Marvel game. Like, the last time there's a really good Spider-Man game, in my eyes, was PS2, and then Spider-Man 2. And that movie wasn't even that good, but the game was good.
No.
And
the game was good. That's pretty much the general consensus that that was the last time a Spider-Man game was any good.
Yeah, and then before that, like, you're talking about, like, SNES days, like Amazing Spider-Man on SNES and all that kind of stuff. And those, like, big Marvel, like the 30 million Marvel games that came out on SNES. But previous to that, yeah, like, there wasn't anything there. So I'm hoping this leads. And we talked about this, like, what, episode 4, like 2 or 3 episodes ago. I'm hoping that this brings on some great confidence for some other superhero games.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that this kind of sets the bar for those. And hopefully they meet those bars or meet that bar.
Yeah.
And those expectations. Absolutely.
I think there is a Marvel game, or sorry, a Marvel Avengers game in the works right now. We don't know much about it, and I am currently drawing a blank as to who is making it. But
is there just rumors going around right now?
Oh, it's not even a rumor. It's actually been announced that there is an Avengers game in the works. So, yeah, that'll be cool. They have a lot to live up to now, so they better bring their A game, or else they're going to get shit on, basically. People are going to be pissed.
Square Enix, by the way, is making that one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was drawing a blank on that one, but... a little bit of news on Spider-Man, and that way we can get this out of the way and we don't have to talk about Spider-Man again for a while, because I'm sure everybody's sick of hearing about it. But
oh, for sure.
New Game Plus is coming to Spider-Man, which is awesome.
What is that?
That's where you can basically start over the game, but you start with anything that you unlocked your first go through.
Okay.
But most of your enemies are going to be harder and all that, but
okay, cool. So some more replayability there of the story mode,
right? Yeah, that's awesome. Kind of grind back through it. We do not have a date on that yet. Insomniac just came out and said that they were doing it. So
that's awesome.
The other news on it is this isn't necessarily new news, but I figured since we're talking about it, we might as well kind of shove it in there. The Heist is the first DLC for Spider-Man. And it comes out October 23rd. So
pretty soon.
Pretty soon. Pretty soon.
Do you think that's too early?
I don't know. I don't necessarily have a problem with it. A lot of people will say that, well, it's too early. I mean, if they had it ready to go, obviously they should have released it with the game. Mm. I don't necessarily agree with that.
Okay.
A lot of times these teams split into groups. So somebody's working on DLC while somebody's finishing up the game. And from playing the game, it does not feel incomplete. It does not feel like something is missing from the game. I can see where what they have done in the game so far will lead up to this DLC, but I don't think that this necessarily ever had any intention of being something that was in the game, nor do I feel like it needed to be in the game to justify its existence.
Is this DLC based on a certain season of the year, like in-game?
I do not know that. All I know so far is that it's going to star Black Cat. So
okay, that's cool.
That's pretty cool. Spider-Man and Black Cat together are usually pretty interesting.
Do we know how much more, like how many more hours of story this would bring? Or?
I do not know. I am not completely positive on that one, but I can definitely look into it.
Has Insomniac discussed any other future, like any plans for other future DLC beyond this? I'm assuming so.
Yeah, the deluxe edition of the game had your like season pass with it.
Okay. And so what are we looking, like a DLC every quarter for this title?
I believe it is. 2 or 3 DLC packs. I'm looking it up just okay. to confirm here.
Okay. So it's cool.
It'll probably be spread out a little bit, but I think they're going to definitely try to stay really relevant throughout the rest of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll release the Heist and then maybe another one and then one more after that, but I'm not completely positive.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't really know if it's too early. I mean, you know, from everything that you said, it sounds like it's worth the $60.
Absolutely.
For the full title, and you said there's not really, the story doesn't, you know, sitting there going, huh, wow, you know, this is missing. I'm sure this DLC is just an added mission, and it's going to be a couple more hours of story, and so, that's about it.
So their season pass is called Spider-Man, the City That Never Sleeps series, and it adds 3 chapters to the game. Oh, so, wow.
Does it add suits and stuff, too?
I don't know. Interesting. They've kept fairly tight-lipped on a lot of this.
Okay.
It'd be interesting. I would be all for more suits. I mean,
I'm sure everybody have too would, many yeah.
suits.
No, absolutely, for sure.
There's only about 1.5 million different Spider-Man characters that you could throw into the series. So,
well, I mean, here's the deal, right? They've basically made a Grand Theft Auto with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like an open-world-based Spider-Man. So, you know, they're going to go the GTA route where it's, you know, let's put out some DLC. Let's put out, you know, different seasons every quarter. Let's do some cool new chapter. Like, this is a series for, you know, this year, and then maybe midway through calendar year of 2019, they decide, hey, like, you know, we're going to start another series called, you know,
right,
whatever, you know, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine with me. To keep a game alive like that, that is so cool.
Oh, and absolutely.
To
maybe
keep coming back to it and why I loved it, and especially if I can get a season pass, you know, that's great. If I don't want to and I want to be selective and it's only like $10, hey, or 15 or 20 bucks for the DLC, that's great. Cool.
Right.
A couple more hours squeezed out of the game, more lore for me as a Marvel fan. Like, I'm loving it.
I think in the deluxe edition, it was like $20 more to get the deluxe edition. And I think if you buy them separate, like just the season pass by itself, I believe it is $25. So, I mean, you save $5 if you got the deluxe edition. So if you haven't picked it up and you're interested in that, there is that option. But I highly recommend just playing the game first and spending the extra $5 because I've done it many, many times where I bought the season pass and ended up hating the game. But no, I think the way they've set their DLC plans up is perfect because they've done it in a series there. So they're able to add more on even after that. You know, they get through these 3 DLCs, and if things are going well and people are liking it, they can add another season. I mean, if the first season turns out good, I'm on board for a second season. I'll buy it. I absolutely am. Any reason to jump back into this game, I'd be happy for. So,
Damn. Well, good job, Insomniac. Hell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go pick that game up. Company that's not doing so well right now in terms of optics and just it seems like every month there's just either. I mean, yeah, you have to. In some instances, sometimes it's not their fault. They've been accused of some things that, you know, was out of their control, but then they've also done a lot of things recently that just doesn't make much sense in the optics of gamers. But EA is basically refusing to remove loot boxes. So
did your tongue burn when you said that?
I mean, we'll get into it in a second.
Yeah,
but I've kind of got an interesting look on EA. So Belgium is one of the newest countries. There's a couple on the list, mainly in Europe, that have kind of jumped on the bandwagon. Well, not bandwagon. They've created laws basically against loot boxes, citing that it is under their, you know, country's rules and laws. It should be, you know, under the definition of gambling, right? Because a user does not know what the individual is getting. You know, it's all random. It's randomization. There's the option to, like, if we use Overwatch as a perfect example. I know it's not an EA title, but
that's always,
you know,
the one I think of is Overwatch.
Yeah, well, because I think they're the ones that really made, like, loot boxes, like, the really good to feel to open up and stuff like that. Right. Yeah, because they have a great feel when you open it, right? But
yeah, because they rattle around and just give you this anticipation for it.
Exactly. So in those are all random. You don't know what you're going to get, and you can spend real money for loot boxes. And you can also spend real money in a lot of these games now for in-game currency. And then that valued in-game currency can then be used for loot boxes. So basically their fight is, look, at the end of the day, you are putting money, and whether you're changing that currency into a real currency, just a digital currency within a title, you're then purchasing something, and it's randomization of what that individual is going to get. It's all by luck, right? That you're going to get like a legendary skin or whatever the game may be. So a lot of these countries have banned that and have been calling a lot of companies to ban loot boxes within games. And it's been something that's come up actually in the U.S. a lot of times too. as to whether or not that's gambling or not. What's kind of crazy in this is EA kind of then asked for support from its players in Belgium and these other countries to basically back them up and asked for them to essentially, you know, tell their own government that they're wrong. It's kind of like staging a coup against loot boxes, but essentially EA's come out and asked like these countries, hey, you know, gamers, if you want these loot boxes, you know, like these loot boxes in game, you know, please let, you know, your country that is looking to ban, they're seeking to ban these or has possibly already banned these and deemed these illegal, to maybe, you know, reconsider. In which case now Belgium has opened a criminal investigation against EA for this, as EA is trying to rally the public eye against Belgium, its own country, to try and make this a thing. The loot boxes right now are regulated in China, Japan, the Netherlands, Belgium, as we stated, Australia, and the Isle of Man. I don't have to tell you on this. I don't know. It's difficult, right? Because gambling to me is it's difficult, right? Because if you justify, like CSGO, right? You can get some skins and you can sell those for real money.
You can sell some of them.
But you're selling those through
a ton of money.
Yeah, you're selling those on a third party site that's not even owned by, you know, the developer.
Right.
With something like, do we know, like, what, I mean, EA has a bunch of games now that have loot boxes in. Do we know which one's like the poster child for this at all or no?
Most recently it was Battlefront 2.
Okay, well, those were ridiculously expensive to begin with.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in that situation, you're not, it's tough when they say, like, it's gambling, because I'm receiving a good, however, if you look at the terms and agreements of any of these video games, you don't actually own any of it.
Right.
You don't own any of that shit. Like, if you unlock Darth Vader, you don't own that. EA owns that. So if you lose Darth Vader, by technicality, they don't have, from a technical default, there's some fault. Like the loot box opens up and you see, you know, a Vader skin there or some crazy new gun or whatever for Battlefront. And it doesn't go to your inventory. But technicality, from the terms and agreements, you do not have to. Like, you don't own that. You never owned that.
Right.
Ever. So it's one of those things where it's kind of like, well, the terms and agreements state this. The user's simply going through an action, which is thus just part of a progressionary stage in the game in which if you want to unlock things, this is the method in which you have to do it. It's not based upon you went to level 3, now you can unlock, you know, this style of stormtrooper. It's you've went to level 3, you now have the ability to use these credits towards getting a loot box to then open up, and hopefully that loot box generates something that helps you progress through the game. Which by chance I get, but I'm not, it's not like I'm actually being given something that like I'm not being given money. I have no ownership of the thing that's actually going to me from a legal standpoint. So I honestly don't really know why these places are kind of banning this stuff. Honestly.
I got an interesting read here. This is from the what was it, Australian Congress meeting. So basically, it says, our large-scale study of 7,422 people found important links between loot box spending and problem gambling. The more severe gamers' problem gambling was, the more likely they were to spend large amounts of money on loot boxes. These results strongly support claims that loot boxes are psychologically akin to gambling. These results also suggest that there is a serious risk for loot boxes to cause gambling-related harm. More specifically, they suggest that either loot boxes act as a gateway to problem gambling amongst gamers, and loot boxes provide games companies with an unregulated way of exploiting gambling disorders amongst customers. Given the relationship between loot box use and problem gambling outlined above, we recommend that games containing loot boxes carry parental advisories. Games containing loot boxes carry descriptors that indicate the presence of in-game gambling content. Serious consideration is given to restricted games that contain loot boxes to players of legal gambling age. So, to me...
What? Okay, so are they... Do they want them to remove it? Or do they want, like,
no.
What's, like, what is,
so,
like, what's going
just,
on here?
Okay, so the countries that you, though. Yeah, the countries that you read off do not have a, do not necessarily have a strict law saying no. A few of them do. I believe Japan and Belgium obviously do. But I believe Australia actually allows it. They just want it regulated
okay,
in
so
some way, shape, or
Japan
form.
Japan and Belgium... Like, will not sell this game.
Will not, yeah.
Okay.
They have a strict no loot box law. So, I agree in a sense, though, because these loot boxes, and they know damn well what they're doing. These loot boxes have these animations, and they build up the anticipation, and they build up this certain high, for lack of a better word, that people love that. They love the feeling of opening something that they don't know what it is. I mean, think of as when you were a kid and you went to the store and you wanted to get something out of, like, the gumball machines. Not necessarily, obviously, a gumball, but they used to have, like, the toys, you know. You'd put 50 cents in there, right? And
the
half the fun
mustache.
Of it. Right, absolutely. Half of it was knowing figuring out which shitty looking mustache you were gonna get. Like, is it gonna be the one that curls up, or is it gonna be a Fu Manchu? Like, which shitty mustache?
So
am
why
I
don't
get?
Why don't we have those stickers on gumball machines?
I fully agree, but that's
why don't we have that on packs of Pokemon cards?
I don't know, man. You could hit up the Belgium government for that.
I just don't. I don't. I
agree.
Look, I understand. If you want to put parental guidance lines, whether it's like within the ESRB system or the PEGI system, or the Australian system, you know, whatever.
To be fair,
like, that's fine.
Those don't really even matter, though. Most parents aren't paying any attention, and most people working at stores do not care whether a 14-year-old comes in and buy a mature game or not.
Yeah, but the problem is the government cares.
Right.
Right.
Like, government
the government does things all the time that we don't care about. But if the government knows that they do it,
it makes them feel better.
We care about it, right? Like, in Canada, they put all the cigarettes behind, you know, little door flaps. So you can't even see the cigarettes. You have to know what you're looking for.
Right.
Right. But if you get a cigarette and you get hooked on smoking in high school or something like that, you're going to go ask for Marlboros or Players, whatever, right? Whatever you want to smoke.
Right.
You know, they also put shitty images on packs of cigarettes back home as well, with people with like a heart on a table. That's just like disgusting images, so that you don't even want to hold the box or anything. And it doesn't stop anybody from, I mean, obviously it's probably helped here and there, but yeah, in your thing with video games, I mean, I've seen parents go buy Grand Theft Auto in Walmart, and then they walk outside the doors of Walmart, and then they hand it to their kid.
Absolutely.
They don't care. But those are all, you know what those parents also do? Those parents also blame video games for violence, and then they don't utilize the very system that the government has tried so hard to build the system on. So it's both parties are just absurd on both levels. And, like, I have no problem in a legal line with the gambling. I think that's important, honestly. Like, I really do. Like, I don't know if you use the term as gambling, because I think from a marketing perspective, that's a little shitty, but I think maybe
I feel
like
it is fuzzy. I feel like gambling is not quite the right word.
Maybe,
but
like,
I
chance
feel
games,
like,
or something like that, or, like, chance unlocks, something like that, like randomized unlocks or something like that.
Right.
I don't, saying that this makes people want to go to a casino, that's objectifying this as a separate thing. So they're already saying off the get-go, this separate thing is then going to cause someone to then actually go gamble. So they're admitting off the bat that this isn't really gambling.
They're saying it's a possible gateway.
Gateway, yeah.
Right.
Which I get. I understand.
See, the thing is, like, I'm with you. I agree.
Young kids with, like, some of these loot boxes and stuff?
Yeah, it's unreal.
Like, I've seen kids, like, they want to do chores just so that they can literally, like, their parent will go spend $5 to get a bunch of, you know, a couple of loot boxes, even just like an Overwatch. And I don't want to shit on Overwatch. I think Overwatch is a fantastic game. Yeah. Kind of on the dev side of this, but, like, you know, obviously it hooks people, but that's the thing. Like, you know, you can spend money on it, but you can use in-game currency that doesn't exist or doesn't have actually any monetary value in real life.
Right. And there's also different kinds of loot boxes. I mean, you're talking about anything from solely cosmetics like Overwatch, where it's all, who cares? Like, none of it is going to make you a better player, make you have an advantage over anyone else.
Yeah, but you're getting something.
But, right. But the other side of the coin is your Madden Ultimate teams and FIFAs, which this article
for FIFA,
generally
18,
cites FIFA, which is where you're building up a team of certain characters, and so it furthers the argument for it to be gambling at that point. If it's cosmetics, who gives a shit? But when you're actually building a team and you're opening these because you're trying to build this perfect team that's going to win and things, if you don't get the character or the player you want, you're going to open another one. So that, I think, is where the gambling comes from, because whether it has a monetary value at the end of the day, it still has value to the player. So if the player's getting, you know, crappy player after crappy player, they're probably still going to keep opening them until they get somebody worthwhile. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, is more the main issue, because nobody threw a stink at Overwatch. Overwatch has been fine. Most of the time, they don't really throw much of a stink until it actually adds an advantage in the game.
Well, that's the problem, though, right? Like, that EA's done here is that the media has thrown a big stink about loot boxes over the past, like, 2 years, since, like, some games first started coming out with them. Right, so just loot boxes in general have a stigma on them right now, but
which
and like spin wheels and
earned,
stuff like that, and like
yeah.
mobile games and stuff. But the problem EA did is now like they've asked support from players to go forward on this stuff, to fight this stuff for them, and so they've stamped their name now into loot boxes. So now loot boxes is going to be labeled as EA.
Yeah,
even though I mean everybody's using them, it's just going to come up constantly in this scenario, this situation, and this trial.
EA has been the company that's really been kind of using it in more of a malicious way, I suppose. Like I said, you know, they have Madden, they have FIFA, they have...
Well, think about how much money they make off of FIFA
absolutely.
In those regions specifically.
They make a ton off of that. Yeah, especially in those regions because, you know, soccer,
so fighting for their
football
revs.
Over there
yeah.
is just massive.
Yeah.
So I get it. On that token, but you're fairly cosmetic ones like Overwatch and stuff. Like I don't see any problem necessarily with those.
I won't be buying any
of them. I bought some keys in Rocket League to open some crates and stuff. But that's more because I really really like that dev. That I love that company, and so I have no problem throwing a little bit of cash their way every once in a while and open some crates or whatever. And the game was cheap, and I've gotten a ton of playtime, but that is more, I could live without the cosmetics, but at the same time, like I said, I like to throw some money towards that company every once in a while. But something like Battlefront, to where it is, and Battlefront was this way when it first came out, that you know, unlocking these heroes right off the get-go is a huge deal. I mean, that actually changes how the game plays if you can unlock these characters right off the bat. Or even FIFA, you know, if you're pulling some of the top-tier soccer players and your buddy Jameson or what I that was a shitty name but your buddy Billy is over there pulling, you know, the worst of the worst, like the guy that sits far right bench, like that's not fair. That's going to completely change how that portion of the online game plays, and ultimately changing the balance of the game.
I do have to argue that though honestly I do. I think in some ways the loot box levels that out. The loot box is based on probability. So hold on, just hear me out for a second. So the loot box is based on probability, right? So it's randomization. You don't know what you're going to get. In FIFA, right. you can buy packs that are randomized, and you can buy packs that are specialized, right, to certain teams, positions, different things like that. So you can isolate those probabilities. You still have to spend money, and yes, that makes you better if you have more money on it. But what makes video games different from someone owning... from two people owning the same car and buying, one person decides to have, has a little bit more money, so they decide to buy better parts for it and they race. What made that different in this industry versus virtually any other product that you buy in life? And honestly, I don't, from a personal standpoint, I don't like when people go and spend like $200 and then they kick your ass online because they bought everything in the game. Like, that sucks, right? At the end of the day, that person spent $200 on a game, and maybe they kicked your ass in it because it's a pay-to-win, right? But why is there this exception for video games in that instance?
I don't think it's an exception, though. Well, the thing is, like, with your car illustration there, it's not the same because the person who spent more money knows what is in the car. It's not a randomization. It's not some toss-up of parts or a toss-up of different things. Like, it could have a completely different engine in it, and all of a sudden, like, oh, yeah, well, I spent more money and I have a better engine. That's not the same.
Well, but there's plenty of games, though, where there's no randomization.
Right, and that's not what they're talking about. That's not a loot crate. The loot crate is the gacha system where it's a random roll.
Okay, but if I have more money and I spend more money and I chose to do that with my money, and that
okay, but you could spend more money and still have just as shitty of a team. That's not the point of it. It's the randomization of it. Yeah, and that's fine, but that's exactly what they're saying. Like, if somebody wants to build this team so well,
right,
and they are willing to spend that money, they might have an underlying gambling issue, which I fully agree with, because the whole thing of gambling is the high of the not knowing what's going to happen. The whole thing with gambling is the possibility at the end of it of coming out on top.
Yeah.
Right. So okay. I see the parallels with gambling. Do I think gambling is necessarily the correct word? Probably not. But at the same time, I mean, I understand why it's an issue.
Can we agree, though, whether there's no randomization and it's just you can buy better stuff for a game to be better in it and it's a pay-to-win game? Like, when there's no randomization, that there just seems to be some sort of stigma with that with games?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Versus like, okay, cool, so we're on the same page with that. With the randomization, right. We're on the same page, too, with, like, I don't think this is full-blown gambling. I think it's, like, in a league of its own, I guess.
Somewhere in between. I don't think it's healthy, and I don't think it should be a part of the gaming industry, in all honesty.
Really?
I like to know what I'm getting. Yeah, I feel like it's a desperate cash grab that definitely goes after people who get that high, in all honesty. And they know exactly what they're doing. I mean, these people have tons of people that work for them that and some of them that even focus on just the psychological effects of their game. Yeah. I mean, look at Bungie. When they created their game, they had a psychologist that came in and helped them with the gameplay that created this addicting gameplay on Destiny 1.
Yeah.
And so these companies know exactly what they're doing, and to act like they don't is just ridiculous. Like, everybody knows they know exactly what they're doing. They're capitalizing on people's weaknesses, which is, I mean, that's business, I guess. But at the same time, I do feel like you're walking a very, very fine line with these. And people have been outraged by them for a long time. But the majority of where they make most of their money are probably off of younger kids. In all honesty, it's younger kids who are using their money in ways that aren't good, and that's not necessarily their fault. But at the same time, I think some of the concern is that it could possibly be kind of pulling on some underlying issues.
There could be loopholes too. Let me
move around. Right. There's always loopholes for everything.
I mean, the only answer in my head on this right now is essentially either put something on the box or, you know, no loot crates unless they're in a, you know.
Right.
You know, you have to specify some sort of an age, right? If it's going to be classified as gambling under your country's jurisdiction and laws, I mean, I guess you're gonna have to put it under M. Like, you know, no loot boxes unless it's M rating. Exactly. Or you up your M rating. Like, why don't we just include that into, like, if it was the ESRB system, right? This wouldn't happen with the ESRB system because I don't think America really cares about this right now, as does Europe, as much as Europe right now. Like, they're not taking action on it. But, you know, let's say the PEGI system out in the UK, if the PEGI system wants to add this as a bullet point onto it, and if this bullet point's added in the PEGI rating system, then the game just goes to a friggin' M on the PEGI, or 18 plus, sorry, on the PEGI system.
Right, which is, at least here, you know, you have to be at least 18 to gamble, so.
Right, but then that's the problem, right? Is it's going to be this massive legal fight where it's like, is it gambling, though? Because if it's not gambling, then it doesn't matter if they're 18, and then it just turns into another bullet point on the box, in which you said earlier, like, nobody gives a shit. So it's like, I feel like it's going to be one of these, I feel like it's going to be all this, a big talk, and then it's going to turn into a bullet point in the back of a box that nobody gives a shit about.
Right. Well, and I mean, other than your countries that are extremely strict on it, like Belgium is, where they're like, we're not going to sell FIFA, which, I mean, to each their own, but at the same time, it's good luck with that, though. Right, absolutely. People import it just like everything else. Like, if there's something sold over in Japan, you can import it from Japan over here. Like, it's not that big of a deal. It's more of an inconvenience than anything.
And I do think fans would reach out to the Belgium government.
Yeah.
As much as I think it's a dumb thing that EA did that, I can see why they did it. Because, it's FIFA.
The way they did it, it was pretty pathetic. I mean, it was pretty sad. They're basically begging people to help them because they want their loot boxes that people pay more money for to be in there. And it was just a ridiculous concept to wrap your head around.
Right.
When you're actually reading it, you're like, why? I don't. Most people don't even like loot boxes. Why the hell would half of them fight for them? Like, basically, where they're making most of their money is off of what we call whales. Whales are people who go and spend
a bunch of money.
Like a ton of money. So most of these kinds of games actually make a ton of money off of a few people rather than
they make like
a little bit of money off of a bunch of people.
They make like 90% off of their 10%.
Right, absolutely. It's kind of crazy, but no, I agree with you on the fact of like the gumball machines. Like, why isn't there something on that? No. You know, I agree.
Pokemon cards, right? Like, you actually own that actual thing. It's on a digital property, right?
Yeah, I remember, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh cards and Pokemon and all of those where it's all a random draw. Yeah, baseball cards.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a huge collection of baseball cards still to this day that sit in the mechanical room. But, but yeah, no, I agree. I think... I mean, if I do feel like gaming has been singled out in a way, whereas some other media forums have not. But at the same time, I mean,
because you're not relevant anymore, right?
Right. Gaming is so huge at this point, right? I mean, you still got some of them, but for the most part, I mean, people aren't going crazy about stinking Pokemon cards anymore. I mean, your Magic the Gathering cards, some of those go for stupid prices, but for the most part, I mean. Yeah, I think that's one of the few other places where this is such a big issue and where it's actually such a and even then, I mean, that actually has resale value, you know.
You can turn around on the market.
Yeah, you could pull a certain card and all of a sudden you're turning around and selling it and you can pay for everything that you own up until that point. Like, so I think we're pretty much on the same page, but I think we have a few differences on it. But I do agree. I feel like the gaming industry has been pointed out for this, But that's because gaming is just so massive and EA is such a huge company and they've made such a stink about this that it keeps dragging its ugly head back to the front and center of the news.
And they're kind of forced to, though, right, too? I mean, remember, this is a publicly traded company.
Right.
Their entire goal every quarter is to raise their revenues, their profits.
Oh, yeah.
To appease, you know, shareholders. So if something goes down, like, you know, for all we know, dude, like, holy shit, Belgium might be, like, you know, the highest paying, you know, country for FIFA Ultimate Packs.
Right.
You lose that, and you have to report on that. You have a problem like this, and you can't resolve this problem within a quarter. What do you think is going to happen to your stock, right? It's going to go down like crazy. But that's the price you pay as a public company. I don't think it doesn't mean that it's... It doesn't mean that's the best thing that I think all of us would like to come up with in our minds. But honestly, like, where do you go with that? If the government is so stubborn towards your company, you're a Canadian/American company, right, that is trying to sell, like, EA Sports is Canadian-based in Vancouver. And so you're trying to sell your stuff in a different country. You go through all the other regulations. The game's been out there now for an extended period of time. And now they're deciding that they want to change this where they're just not going to sell your shit in their country. They're not listening to you. What do you do, right? Like, I mean, that's where you try to turn the fan. Like, you try to get community involvement in there. Like, I mean, there's these games that have massive communities of people. And I have no doubt, honestly, I think there'll be a bunch of players that go to the Belgian government and say, like, look, like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, and they just find a quick fix of, like, just put a fucking bullet point on the back of the box.
Right.
Or if you really want it that bad, you know, cool, you can't buy FIFA, you know, 20, you know, next year unless you're, you know, 16 years old, whatever.
Right.
Like, these countries are countries also that you drink at, like, 15.
Right.
Like, the fucking hypocrisy in this is...
Yeah, no, it's definitely there.
It's ridiculous on some levels. I don't know.
I also it's also feel a fad. Like,
I feel like it's going to pass. Yeah. I feel like loot boxes is going to pass. It's going to go to something else. Like, you saw the card packs for a while, and, like, it just seems like there's so much room on both sides for argument that it's going to be this back and forth, like, argument till the end of time, because they're gonna say, like, well, you know, they're not a box, they're, you know, they're card packs. These card packs have value within this community, not a monetary value, so no one's gaining any money out of this.
Well, and then there are some people who are building up teams and then turn around and selling them.
That is true.
Selling profiles.
It's against, it's against the rules.
If you've got
in terms of agreements that you're not supposed to do that, that's out of EA's fault, right? Like, there's a lot of legal stuff here where there's loopholes on both ends where both parties can just sit there and just mouth off to each other all day long. And, I just see some sticker getting slapped on a box.
It's going to be a, like you said, it's going to be a bullet point just so everybody's
so that the government's happy
per
and
se,
then the
and
public doesn't even give
move
a shit.
On. Yeah. And I think it's such a strange thing for the government to even target. I don't understand why Belgium has such a hard on to go after this. I mean,
well, a lot of these countries, like, even come from Canada, right? Like, there's a lot of control of stuff in Canada. Like, alcohol is controlled by the government in Canada.
Right.
The gambling is controlled. The casinos, there's very little privatized casinos. Most of them are owned by your province, like, lottery. So they're all owned by the government, and inside of all those casinos, there's literally, like, gambling help desks within it. And most of these countries, like Belgium and all that, they do the exact same thing in Canada, but on a heightened level. So it's like, there's no taxes though coming from this. So if it's one of these, like, if this is one of these bullshit things where Belgium's just like, hey, EA, to have this sticker on it in your country, you need to pay this amount in tax to us because technically it's a gambling product, I'm going to be pissed. Right. That's bullshit. That's absolute bullshit.
I don't know how that works over in Belgium, but I was going to bring up earlier also that I feel like the U.S. is a lot more laxed on their gambling rules than a lot of other places. So gambling here in the U.S. is definitely very different than gambling in Belgium or Japan or any of that, you know?
Well, because it's all so, based on choice.
Right.
Like, it's all based on, like, it sounds cliche, but it's all based on freedom. Like, right. I mean, you know, yeah, as an individual, you know that when you walk into a casino, you could either win or you could lose. And it's up for you, the individual, to make that and reason with yourself as to whether you should enter the casino or enter the casino with $20 or enter the casino with $200.
Right.
And that's your choice to make. If you lose it, that was your choice to make. If you win a shit ton of stuff, guess what? You were lucky. And you knew you were lucky.
Yeah.
You knew that when you walked in there, everything that you did wasn't because you were smarter than the slot machine when you pulled it or you pulled it the right way. It's because you just simply walked in and the chances of probability were on your side for that day. And then you left. And if you get addicted to it, does it suck? Yeah, it sucks.
See, and but I probably should have
addicted to a lot of things.
Oh, absolutely. I probably should have prefaced all this by saying I don't gamble.
Right, and
personally,
I mean,
because yeah. I am the type of person who has to play until I win, so I know better than to gamble before I lose my house and car and wife and dogs. And
all in on red.
Yeah, all in on red. Everything I own, like
it's black.
I have a big issue, and so I personally don't gamble. So I probably should have said that at the get-go here because that definitely – I'm definitely biased in one direction or another. So – and that's why I don't – like I said, I'll throw a little bit of money towards Rocket League. But other than that, I don't ever pay for anything extra to open these random boxes. If I can't earn it in-game, I just don't do it. So
right.
And even in Rocket League, now there's a form of – of way you can actually earn it in game, which has been around for a little while,
right.
But still, I personally just I don't do it because I know how I am, and I don't even play the Madden Ultimate Team or FIFA Ultimate Team or whatever FIFA's is. I don't even play them because that's a rabbit hole I don't need to go down.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So like. On my side, right, like, I've been to a couple of casinos. I'm not a very big gambler, but I gamble in some forms. I invest.
Right.
I mean, by all means, that's gambling.
Oh, absolutely.
I put money in tomorrow in Apple, and a fucking meteor strikes Apple headquarters in the middle of the night. I lose all my money.
Yeah.
There's gambling on that essence, right? And that's the thing. Like, I think that's where, like, government almost steps too far in some instances.
Right.
Clearly, there's people out there that are addicted to things and just don't give a shit about their family and other stuff and just get into these situations. And it's their fault. And it's, yes, you know, perhaps a casino should be like, hey, you know, Jim keeps coming back here and Jim slept here in the slot machine aisle last night. That's fucked up. Let's let Jim go home. Let's tell him he needs to leave. Right. And I could be wrong. Maybe casinos do that. Maybe there's someone who listens to the podcast that, you know, works at the casino and they do that for all I know. But, you know, I have played I play NHL, and NHL has a system exactly like FIFA, just like Madden. You know, they rolled that system across all their sports products.
Right.
And, I mean, you buy packs, you trade them, all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, like, if I spend $5 on a loot box, like, it's my decision as an individual sitting there going, you know, cognitively being like, hey, I'm going to spend $10 here and I'm going to get, you know, 10 loot boxes in Overwatch. There might be a fucking chance here I don't get the Tracer skin I want. And if that happens, hey, that sucks. If I don't get it, I can pay more and maybe get it or maybe not get it again.
Right.
Or I might be able to get it. So I don't, it's just, I feel like, but you're overstepping.
At the same time, I mean, the warning labels on most products aren't for the level-headed individuals of society. They are for the absolute idiots. Like, oh, don't touch, it's hot. Well, no shit, it's a fucking oven. Like, the same reason they put those warning levels on things are the same reasons they have to make laws for things that should be obvious to the level-headed consumer, but they're not to everyone. Or the other side of it is there's kids playing. So I think that's part of it as well.
This is going to be an age gate thing for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's an age gate thing, but at the same time, I mean, I've met a lot of adults that are not real sharp and
but is that
still
the
can't control
duty?
Themselves. Well, but why do we have warning labels on things then?
Lawsuits.
Are we just gonna go the natural?
We have
Are we gonna go the natural selection route? I mean,
but you're not,
let somebody lose all of their money and then try to sue somebody. I mean, it could go the exact same route in there too.
Are we gonna punish a company that employs people and loses money on employing people because of a couple people that can't handle smoking, gambling, all these different things? Like I just don't drinking.
See,
all these different things.
I think the thing here is, once you open this up, there's so many exceptions, and there,
yeah,
and every single thing tears off into something else. Where it's like, okay, but if we're gonna do this here, what are we gonna do here, and what are
right.
we gonna do
oh,
here?
Oh yeah, like the argument
opens
for gambling
up,
can sit there and be
oh,
like,
yeah.
hey, well, hey, look, like we're gonna hold people back from buying a product that they can freely want to purchase and buy, and there's nothing else in this game. Like, say they age gate it, right? There's no reason. Other than the fact that the government in this instance would have said, this is quote-unquote gambling from our standards, in our eyes,
right.
little Billy who is 13 and just wants to be Messier in friggin' Messier. I'm thinking hockey. Messi.
FIFA.
But, you know, nope, you can't buy it because you have to be 18 years old to purchase this. So the content creator of that literally has to limit themselves to that. And then, but you also might say, but now they're keeping little Billy from spending all his money, and then the taxpayers have to pay more shit for little Billy to go get help within that economy through its own social program. So it's hopefully helping save the taxpayer, but then it's limiting the freedom of the individual to purchase the product at its own will while the government tries to restrict a medium form of content. So exactly, it's a fucking spiderweb.
It's a giant can of worms. It's a giant, can of worms.
Do you think with this
is a mess?
With this happening in these countries where they've kind of like regulated them more, right? In China and Japan, all that kind of stuff. And with Belgium being kind of the first one here, where it's like, nah, like we don't want this, right?
Right.
Do you think this is gonna make its way to the U.S.
eventually? Yeah.
Do you think? But, like, do you think it's going to... Because I do think loot boxes are a complete fad.
Oh,
people,
absolutely.
People will get sick and tired of that, and they will leave.
Right.
It'll turn either to challenge-based... Like, look at casinos right now. Like, they're all changing to challenge-based. I was in a casino on... oh my gosh. On Sunday at Niagara Falls.
Mm-hmm.
When I went back up there for a wedding. And they have challenge-based... slot machines going in now. So, like, there's probability ones, and then there's ones that have a lesser payout, but they're
mm-hmm.
actually challenge-based. So, like, there's
like
a racing game.
Skill-based?
Yeah, skill-based, sorry, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, if you're a better racer, like, you win money, right? So it's like,
yeah,
did these just evolve into that aspect? Or
I
like...
saw that they were... I saw an article, shit, it was probably a couple years ago about that, that they were lot of casinos were trying to do that.
They can't get people our age into them. Well, unless
right.
they're skill-based, because... We sit there and go, why the fuck am I going to put $20 in a machine that can just take it as easily as give me another $20?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
So
yeah.
The thing, like, I don't see it sticking around.
No,
They'll find something else.
I don't either. They always find something else. There are companies like this. I mean, they have whole departments devoted to this. I mean,
yes.
They will find something else.
And for full disclaimer, I just want to get this out first. For full disclaimer, I work in the games industry. I have worked in the games industry, and I just want to put that as full disclaimer from my point of view into this. And yeah, like I see the problem in it, and yes, Brody's absolutely right. There are dedicated teams to this.
Yeah,
there are dedicated
teams
to designing a store in a game so that someone purchases things. So that someone makes a max purchase decision, right? Makes the ultimate purchase decision so that you can show the value between possibly one package versus another package or another SKU that's, that a user could purchase in-game. It's all about boosting revenue because that's how these companies run and are funded.
Right. Yeah, none of that is by accident. They know damn well exactly what they're doing and exactly how they're doing it. And, it's a fucking mess, and we're just gonna have to see how it plays out, I guess.
Hell yeah!
And I agree, though. I think it's a fad, and we'll come up on the next thing, just like we always do.
Oh yeah, man! It'll be, I don't know. I'm surprised violence in video games hasn't really come to the forefront again.
It's been a little while. Yeah,
there's been a little trickle stuff that's come in, like through some newspapers and some certain like media outlets, but it kind of dies off, honestly. And that's because I think so many people are playing games now. Like, it's not like, you know, there's not this disconnect, sorry, where it's like our parents didn't really, you know, play that many games with us. Like, my dad played a couple video games with me when I was growing up. But, like, now it's like, you know, everyone's pretty much playing some form of a game.
Right.
Either on their phone or some sort of thing. So people can connect to the actual thing itself. But that's a whole other issue. But yeah. I don't know. EA's got to maybe figure out how to walk on eggshells a little bit lighter.
Yeah, their PR needs to kind of rein that in a little bit. Because it's a little excessive. That cry for help was just... That was when I lost every last little bit of respect I had for that company. That cry for help was just pathetic. Oh, dude, it was bad. I don't know if you actually read the actual thing.
I know I didn't read the actual thing, but like if they're crying out to the community for it, could you imagine the lawsuit stuff on their end, even if the terms and conditions imply that the owner of that digital content does not own it, they simply rent it in that instance from EA.
No.
While on their machine. That, you know, hey, sorry guys, FIFA Ultimate isn't available in Belgium anymore. What the hell do you do?
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't know. Go beg your government so you can give us money for the game and then give us more money for bullshit gambling things. The way it was worded was so piss poor that it was just pathetic. Yeah, I'll have to find it and I'll send it to you. I should have sent that to you before the show, but... Oh fuck, man! It was bad. It was sad. I don't know.
Maybe the wordage was wrong on it.
It was like EA, which is a massive company that makes a ton of money.
Okay.
It was like they were panhandling. It was pretty pathetic.
Like, was the wordage and notation of it, like the context of it, more like a feel bad for us in this issue versus here's what's happening?
No, here's it was a feel bad for us.
So
give us your pity.
So it wasn't like a hey, FIFA Ultimate users in Belgium or FIFA Ultimate, you know, community in Belgium, here's what your government is thinking about doing. Here's how that could affect you.
No, it was pretty much like you should feel bad for us. And you should feel bad for yourself because this is what's going to happen type of thing. So they did explain, like, yeah, they're because of the loot boxes, yada, yada, yada. Right, I mean, they did explain to an extent, you know, hey, this is how it's going to affect you. But at the same time, it felt very centered around them and what they wanted from it. But I'll find it and I'll send it to you because, like I said, to me it just felt desperate. It was just sad to see, especially a company like EA who's not really hurting for money. They've been around a long time. They've put out a ton of games that make a ton of money for them. They're going to be A-okay. This is not going to be the downfall that ruins EA. It just felt greedy and desperate and just... sad.
So yeah. It says that Valve and 2K Games have already complied. EA has not.
EA is the only one that has not.
Andrew Wilson, the CEO of EA, said during an earnings call back in May that his company doesn't believe loot boxes are a form of legal gambling because players always get a specific number of items in each box, and those items can't be traded or sold for real-world money in-game. The publisher is going to push forward with the practice, he added. He states, as you might imagine, we're working with all the industry associates globally and with regulators in various jurisdictions and territories, many of whom... we've been working with for some time and have evaluated and established that programs like FIFA Ultimate Team are not gambling, Wilson said, and we don't believe that FIFA Ultimate Team all loot boxes are gambling.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, interesting. Mm. Whatever. We'll get on to the next stuff. We'll see where this goes. I mean, at the end of the day, EA owns the platform. They own the thing and everything. So it's like, it's interesting. I mean, also too, like, the shit on for EA continues, which is fine. I mean, like, you know, I mean, it's not fine. It's whatever. But like, Activision Blizzard have also been found in breach of this as well as Valve. Oh, yeah. Even though Valve says it's complied with it, they've all been found in breach. But
right. I mean,
the internet continually shits on EA because I think it's come to a point
they're
where
the poster child.
It's the poster child of shitting on something.
Oh, absolutely.
But anyways, that's a whole nother episode. Nintendo Online.
Speaking of shitting on someone.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, this one's
Nintendo
this one's
Online,
a little rough.
If you're listening to this, this is a Tuesday show, so this releases today. Online starts today on the 18th. It's already getting messy.
Yeah.
To some extent, and sometimes not, depending on who you talk to about this.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll go ahead and explain it, and then we'll get into it a little bit here.
Yeah.
Nintendo Online releases tomorrow, or today, sorry, like Jeff said, and with it comes cloud saves, something that Switch owners have been wanting since the Switch came out. So currently, if you were to break your Switch, there is no way to keep your saves if you were to have to send it off to Nintendo. So you send it off, do a repair, comes back. Now you're, you know, 150 hours of Zelda are out the window. So people were extremely excited about this. That being said, it has become apparent that Nintendo Online cloud saves will not be kept after you have after your subscription expires. This is one of those that on the surface sounds probably worse than what it actually is. I feel like there should be some sort of a warning from Nintendo, like, hey, you have a few days left, you should probably renew this or else you will lose your cloud saves. The other part of it is Sony, if you do let your subscription expire and you have things saved to the cloud, you have 6 months, so half a year, to get it in there and renew your subscription so you don't lose all of your saves.
Can you download it?
What's that?
Can you download your as a local copy?
I do not believe so. Okay. I as far as I know, no. Okay. So now you're in kind of a weird situation on Nintendo. I don't feel like it's necessarily wrong. I feel like with Sony and Xbox, you're looking at the same thing. I mean, basically, if your subscription runs out, your cloud service is gone. I guess maybe not at Microsoft, but with Sony, you will lose it, because Microsoft at least owns that. So, but anyway, I feel like this one might be slightly blown out of proportion, but at the same time, I understand the outrage. I feel like there should at least be like a certain set period of time that they can guarantee that they hold on to it for, you know, like 6 months. I think that's a perfect amount of time, maybe even a little bit shorter, you know, 4 months, 3 months, whatever. At least that gives you some time to get back in there and renew it or something of that nature. I feel like it would be very easy if you don't have it set up for auto renewal to kind of let it go by, especially if you buy a year long membership. You know, a year goes by and all of a sudden it burns up, and I mean, something could happen and then all of a sudden your saves are gone. So it's what are your thoughts, Jeff?
I mean, I guess I'm kind of in line with you in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, again, to hold someone's data, there's a reason why the subscription costs money, right? So there's
right,
obviously servers that have to run these games, and the VoIP service that runs through this online service, as well as, you know, saving that data, holding that data, the legality price of holding that data. So if you cancel and you don't pay for it and you don't have any resave data, and so they said they'll hold it for 6 months, correct?
On Sony, on PlayStation, yes. Nintendo has not given a specified amount.
Okay.
All they say is if your subscription runs out, they cannot guarantee your save files will still be there.
Okay. Well, generally speaking, in the terms and agreements for stuff for save data, like even for mobile titles that you play, that you have a login, you create a login, generally most of them have like a 30 to 90 day window where you can reach out through customer service and ask for your data back.
Right.
You know, if you so, you know, choose to do so. And they have to reply within that time period, or they get, I mean, if it gets reported, it gets a mark, but yeah.
I think the bigger issue here is that Nintendo is not disclosing how long that period exists for.
Well, that would be something where they're probably not doing that, because it's either a small window, like a 30, 60, or 90-day window,
right,
or it's a custom window, because the data is funny. So, like, it depends where the data is held in what country. So, like, right, your data might be in an office in, you know, Bellevue, Washington, or Redmond, Washington State, where, you know, Nintendo headquarters is nearby, right?
Right.
Or your data could be in Japan. And where the data is in Japan, there could be different laws behind that data, in which, because your data is physically on something, that you make the request, and perhaps Japan's request laws are 2 weeks, right? But if your data is actually held within Data and Privacy Acts within the United States, then perhaps they have to give you 30 to 90 days. So there could be that stuff. There could also be the fact that it's just a small time, and they don't want to show that unless someone actually makes a request to...
Right.
Ask for their data, right? I would hope that you can choose and say, hey, I'm leaving, I would like to locally store this data on my machine, or have a localized copy of it, so that, you know, if you ever wanted to go back to you know, Zelda or a Mario title or whatever, and you wanted to keep your progress, you know, that it would be there.
I highly doubt that.
Yeah. I mean, you have to do it for the GDPR. So for like, yeah so for EU regulations, you know, for EU regulations, like even just mobile games, for example, from like my experience, you have to, if anyone in the EU is going to be conducting business with your business, right, giving you money, or giving you data information, right? First of all, you have to let them know that, you know, your website is collecting cookies, and that you have to, you know, accept some form of terms and agreements. And that's what you're seeing a lot pop up on these different websites that are collecting data about users. Then the other thing is, within your terms and agreements, there has to be a clear line that states what the process is and how the process works in terms of getting your data back. And you're to be given either a write-out of what information they had, or a localized copy of all your data, and then that data is to be released from their server. So there's stuff like that right now, right. With the EU, with GDPR. But I don't know. Like it's a tough cause, right? Again, I constantly say this, and I sound like a broken record, but this is just, you know, another small step towards, you know, streaming games. Like, a lot of people don't know this, but the Nintendo Direct that we saw in the West is much different than the Nintendo Direct that they saw in Japan.
Right.
The Nintendo Direct that they saw in Japan showed Assassin's Creed Odyssey on a Switch.
Right.
Through a streaming service. Because the Switch can't even run that game. They did something similar with Resident Evil 7, where you paid $20 and you rented the game for 180 days and you streamed the game from a performance perspective. And what this is just leading to is getting the consumer ready and acclimated to the basis that the company is going to own the IP, the product, the service to deliver that IP and product to your device, and the data that's behind the product, device, and service. Right. And it's going to become that thing where it's not like the Game Boy days are over, dude, where, you know, you put in a cartridge and it's, you know, holy shit, there's my, you know, Ho-Oh from, you know, 2004. Which, by the way, I found my Pokemon Gold the other day. And I'm pissed because I'm going to have to replace the battery in the cartridge.
No.
So that I can keep it save data again. But it got, yeah, it got wiped because the battery died internally in it. But, you know, those days are going away. Like, there's no... You're paying for something. It's a service that you're paying for. If you stop paying for it, and that's a service that's included in your payment.
Right. You shouldn't,
get the service from your payments.
I fully, fully agree.
Is the internet losing their shit on this?
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know why.
Like I said, I think the main issue is that Nintendo has just not come out and said for how long. The biggest thing, like you said, there's variables in that, but...
Yeah.
At the same time, Sony difficult. Is able to come out and say, hey, we'll keep it for 6 months.
So yeah, Sony won't even fucking do crossplay, and there's no reason why they don't do that.
Right, but that doesn't exactly pertain to this. I mean,
but it's just...
I mean, I get it. Sony's a hypocrite, but yeah, that's besides the point. I feel like the issue here, though, is that people are just pissed off because they don't know. And I've heard of people that have actually even called Nintendo and asked them, and Nintendo's like, yeah, we don't know. Well, how the fuck are you not going to know?
Are they calling Nintendo of America?
I don't know. I don't know that much details. These are not people I know directly. They're just stories I've heard. So, yeah, I mean, take it for what it is. But at the same time, Nintendo has not confirmed how far or how long they'll keep your save data for. So, mm-hmm. I mean, is this one of those things like, hey, my subscription just expired. Like, in an hour, it's gone? Or, I mean, obviously not. But
no.
At the same time, like, people are just concerned because we've waited for save data for so long. This is not something that concerns me because I'm going to buy the stinking online service and just be done with it, whatever, and I'll just probably put it on auto-renew because...
Well, the concern is that the system dies.
Right.
And you lose all your shit.
Lose everything. Absolutely. You
know, the next system
but
comes
like
out
I said,
and
I'm
all
going to
gone.
Pay for it, so I'm going to have it at all times anyway. So it running out is not something I'm concerned about, is what I'm saying. But, yeah, no, I absolutely get the concern, like... If all of a sudden your Switch dies, you know, the day after your stinking subscription ends or whatever, like, you're screwed.
Now, all this data that we've been going up there, correct me if I'm wrong, this can also be stored locally.
I don't know that. I have not seen
any... I'm not saying you can download it. I'm just saying.
Oh, on your Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you buy a bigger memory card.
Right.
No.
Your save is saved locally, but it's saved to the system. You cannot move it to the memory card.
Okay, that's right. That's a technical.
That's why there's a big stink for absolutely having to have this. the cloud saves, because there is no way to back it up onto something physical currently. That's why I don't think there is going to be something after the cloud service comes out that's going to allow you to back it up manually either.
Well, for sure, because then why don't you buy the service? But
right, absolutely.
I haven't tried to manage storage in it. Is it like past Nintendo systems where you can move? This is bad because I have a Switch, but I haven't ran out of room on it. And I haven't had to do shit on that yet. But can you manage stuff where it's like, hey, like I want to move my save data to my micro SD instead of my localized system? Like you could on the Wii. No,
it sucks. It managing it on the Switch sucks.
Can you do it though?
The easiest way I've seen to do it is to literally archive it and then re-download it again, because there is not an option to move something directly from the Switch to the SD card.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure, because I tried to do it a while back because I bought a memory card and I was trying to transfer a bunch of stuff over, and it was one of those deals. I actually had to uninstall a game and then reinstall it to where it would save directly onto my SD card. It was a giant pain in the ass.
Yeah. No, this is interesting.
Yeah, it's...
I get it. I understand. If the service fails and it shuts down one day, all your shit's gone. And it's right now, 100% right now in this reality.
Right.
However, maybe that's not the reality. Maybe they're just doing a piss poor job of communicating that. Perhaps they have to find a way where it's like, U.S. residents, here's the deal. EU residents, here's the deal. Asian Pacifics, here's the deal. You know, for your data, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, again, it's this awkward stage of us having to, you know, be in the midst of going from games as a product to games as a service.
I think people are also pretty just kind of let down by the whole online service anyway.
It's been a rough launch.
It's been really rough, and it hasn't even actually launched yet. So I feel like people are looking for a reason to hang Nintendo for this, and this happened to come up, and they're jumping all over it. Well, like I said, I don't think it's nearly as big of a deal as they think. I think Nintendo just needs to kind of put out a couple fires and be like, hey, we'll keep it for 3 months. So if your subscription runs out, you have 3 months to figure it out, and we'll keep it. I think
people not going to complain that, oh, now I can't put this on my system? I can't put this save data on because it's, like, you know, too big for my system?
It automatically saves it to the system, so it's not going to make any difference there. It automatically saves to the system, and then it also sends it to the cloud as a backup.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're really not going to – that's not really going to change anything as it goes.
But how are you going to get back onto the system if you can't manage it? Right now, currently, you know what I mean? Like, you can't move stuff.
You're probably gonna have something that launches with the online system with the cloud backup that you'll be able to go into. Like, say you get a new Switch, you download this cloud backup app or something, and you can go in there, sign into your account, and download everything from there. That would be my guess.
Well, no, but if you cancel, you're gonna have to have a localized copy. They're not gonna store it because it's gonna cost them money to store your data. That's what I'm saying. Like, even if they give us the option, it's like, hey, Jeff, like, you stopped paying. You have 90 days now, 3 months, whatever, to go in and download a local copy of your archived data, right,
from the cloud. I don't think they're going to allow you to do that. Like I said earlier, exactly.
Because they're not going to give you the ability to, hey, log in and you can download this, because you're going to have to still store your shit.
No, that's not what I'm saying either. I'm saying if your Switch breaks and you are an online member.
Right.
That's how you're going to download. Right, I'm not saying if your subscription runs out. If your subscription runs out, you're screwed. That's the point. That's why people are angry about it. I don't think you're ever going to be able to download a local copy of it. Otherwise, this wouldn't be an issue anyway.
I just don't think we can ever please people.
I don't think this one's a really hard one, in all honesty.
No, I know. I think it's kind of like, if you're not going to pay for it, you risk it. You know?
Right. And all Nintendo has to do to stop this PR nightmare is be like, hey, you have 4 months to resub up and we'll still have your save data and it's not an issue. The issue here is if your Switch breaks and you don't have it, you're screwed. So you have to have it and you're not going to be able to download a local file like you've been saying. It's not going to happen. There's no way. Otherwise, you could just do it directly from your Switch anyway.
And there's no way in my mind that, like, this thing launches and, like, you know, say someone's credit card number changes or gets declined, like, you know, 2-3 times, right? There's no doubt in my mind that Nintendo's terms don't limit it to, like, a lengthy amount of time to where that's justified. Right. That's your headache time.
Yeah.
For someone's, you know, fuck up, you have headache buffer time so that you don't have to deal with the person, basically. Like, okay, cool. So we let 90 days go past. It got declined 3 times. We emailed you like 7 fucking times.
Right.
Your data is gone, bro. You know, like, yeah, that's...
It's just gone. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And here's the thing too, right? Nintendo, like, they just needed... Nintendo always wants to be different with stuff, right? And I admire the shit out of that. That's fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they've done a lot of cool shit. They've actually done a lot of innovation over the years, not in just motion controls and stuff like that, but just in gaming itself, that, you know, honestly, they don't get looked at in that way sometimes. But, like, they actually try to step outside the box and try some really weird shit here and there. But the problem with online services is that this shit's been established since, like, you know, the first Xbox, which is, you know, what, like, we're talking all the way back to, like, what, 2004? 2003, 2002.
Yeah, early 2000s.
Earlier than that, yeah, way early 2000s. So it's like, you know, if you're coming in, there's a bar set, and there's a level of communication that's, you know, surpassed an upward, you know, upwards and over 15 years now to the consumer.
Right.
Most consumers that have had these for 15 years have had it. Like, there's people who've had an Xbox Live since day one, and they have it right now on their Xbox One, right? So they're looking... They're not looking for everything that Microsoft offers for Nintendo to offer, but they're looking for the basis of, like, hey, and this is how you talk with people, you know, this is what exclusives are, this is how your data is stored, this is how it works, this is how you sign in, all that kind of shit. And just fundamentally, I think Nintendo, one, has stepped into something that this is their maiden voyage, so
right,
we have to remember that. Two, Nintendo typically likes to do things on their own, always on their own. So you have that as well. And three, they want to be different with it.
Yeah.
And because of that, they're not necessarily falling. Like, there's many people that are, like, get so pissed off, but, like, PlayStation's online service and Xbox online service are, it's like a fucking mirror at this point.
Yeah.
They virtually offer everything the exact same. The various levels of different services, Game Pass, all these different things. So the moment Nintendo doesn't offer one of those things, becomes a downgrade, and that's why they are taking this risk and all this stuff, and they mitigate it with saying it's only $20 for the year. And that's why we said, like, in a previous episode, where it's like, hey, like, it's $20 a year, where the hell do you go wrong with that?
Right.
Like, what can you complain about? So, I don't know. It's interesting. I think, you know, I think we're on the same page where it's basically, look, you pay for the service if you stop paying for it. One of the services that you pay for is for cloud storage. And if you're not going to pay your $3.99 a month or your $20 for the year, then, you don't get it. Because that's the service that you're paying for.
I absolutely agree. And
it's just going to suck because it's going to be an oddball system where... If it moves on to the next system, or, you know, hopefully this is something where it's like Xbox Live and it just the service migrates itself to the next platform. But it might be one of these oddball things where, you know, it's just a weird system. And, like, 10 years from now, like, everyone has these Switches and, like, they're just, like, the local save data is on them, but, like, everyone's older shit is just deleted and people's Switches get reset and stuff like that, and people can't get their save data. It's just going to be weird. Because you know damn well, like, if there's someone who's going to go into the streaming stuff, like, I think Nintendo might try to step into that first.
You think so?
In a very light way. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If Nintendo can produce a box, dude, that is like, $100, $200, and then provide a service based on a couple of years' experience already providing a service, but that service can be $20 a month rather than $20 a year. I think Nintendo would aim to do that. They have full control over everything in their ecosystem, unlike the other guys. So it's one of those things where it's like, I could see them digging around there, like going down that path, or at least just trying to catch up. Right now, Microsoft seems like the most thirsty for that, but
I feel like Microsoft would be first to that race.
depends though. You've got super, from a technical standpoint, it sounds stupid because you look at a Switch and you go, like, the Switch is so dumb. But from a technical standpoint, your games have to be downgraded to begin with. So streaming them is easier than streaming, 4K game to an Xbox One over shitty internet rather than streaming a 720p title to essentially a tablet.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like one of those weird things where it's like you can build this massive Ferrari or you can run this thing off a Honda Civic and kind of get the same idea and pay for a service and
Yeah, but
get
I don't
exclusives.
know. The internet connection on the Switch already isn't fantastic. I
No.
mean, the Wi-Fi signal is usually pretty rough. Like mine does okay, good enough to get by, but to actually stream something and for it to be playable,
Right.
I doubt it.
No, I'm not
Yeah,
talking about I'm not
maybe
talking
like
about
the Switch 3,
Yeah,
but
no, I'm talking about
like
next stuff.
this is a ways away.
Hey man, they're
No.
saying that Assassin's Creed Odyssey runs well streaming on the Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so.
Maybe their infrastructure over there is a little better. I don't know.
Well, you never know, dude. The
I'm curious as to why they did that only in Japan. I feel like that would have been something that would have done very well in the States, but
Well,
yeah.
technical perspective, again, it's headache of consumer, right? You're going to
Yeah.
have Jim Bob in his trailer in Arkansas going, "What the fuck, Nintendo? I've got internet. I
As you
can't
hear his
fucking play.
dial-up going up in the
Yeah, I
background.
can't fucking play Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Keeps fucking freezing on me. I've got 2 megabits
Yeah.
a second.
Yeah.
I want my money
I
back."
mean, yeah.
In Japan, you've got the infrastructure from a data side of things. Nintendo's a Japanese company. Everyone needs to remember
Right.
that.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
Like we, I think we, a lot of people like to look at it as if it like runs in America. I mean,
no,
it's got a separate
it's
entity in
definitely a
America, but
Japanese company.
yeah, like I mean, it's all the shots are called, from that side of things.
Yeah, I feel like the Assassin's Creed franchise is so much more popular over in the States though than it is in Japan.
Oh yeah, but
I
I'm sure it's
mean,
just a test.
yeah, I'm sure it is as
And
well.
if you're Ubisoft, I mean, why the hell would you not let Nintendo promote the shit out of your game and get a bunch of people in Japan? There's
Oh,
way more people in
absolutely.
Japan than there are in the United States.
Yeah.
And that, well, Japan, that market, Japan, the Asian market itself, so.
Right.
Cool. Well, damn.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, hey, this isn't much of a segue, but today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Yeah, you can get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/diggity, Diggity. So you can get over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, or in Brody's case, his original iPod that sits in his car to this day, if you want to do that and go old school. So you can head on over to audibletrial.com/diggity, Diggityfor your free 30-day free trial. Before we leave, hey, follow us on Instagram at Diggity Podcast as well as Twitter at Diggity Podcast. Leave a review. Really helps out. Gets people's eyes on the podcast. Gets more people in the community. And helps us out as a show to get more exposure. So we do have a review or two actually on iTunes, which is fantastic. But it'd be awesome to see some more. So please leave a review. Also, if you want to reach out to us on Twitter with, this is a new show. So if you want to reach out with like, "Hey guys, like, I think this is good," or hey, your analogy of shitty mustache gumball machines to gambling is a perfect representation of this situation scenario. Let us know. Maybe it's not. Maybe you say, hey, Brody, Jeff, that mustache thing, that was fucking stupid. Let us know. It's how we make the show better. And with that, guys, we'll see you for the Friday show. See you later.